This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Hi, welcome back to Musings on Greek Literature, Season 3, on Apollonius' Argonautica. Today, we're going to be doing Episode 5. I'm going to be hosting Natalie DeGeeter, and I'm here with my co-host, Ava Norman. And today, we're going to be talking about this episode where Jason and Argos are coming back from the palace where they just talked to Aeetes and they got some bad news about the trials they're going to have to go through. Trials which seem impossible in order to get the Golden Fleece. And so here is the first time that they're coming up with their plan for how they're going to get it. And this is a plan that largely involves women. So we're going to be talking a lot about this plan and how the characters interact with each other to get here. And I want to start by evaluating the relationship between Jason and Argos in this section and how Argos actually is the one who comes up with this plan rather than Jason. So he's presenting it to Jason and he's presenting the idea that they ask women for help and specifically that he asks his mother Chalciope, who's the sister of Medea, to convince Medea to help them get the fleece. So the way he presents this plan, first of all, is he says to Jason, "Well, you won't think much of this plan, but that I'm about to tell you." And that's around line 475, if you're following along today, of book 3. Again, and so he presents it very bashfully. he seems, in fact, very uncertain of the plan, and he's like, "You're not going to think much of this, but this is what I'm going to tell you." And so after he brings up this plan, he looks to Jason, who says, and this is line 485, "O Pepon, enu toi autoi Ephandani, u tu megairo." So he's addressing him and he's saying, "Well, if this is pleasing to you, then I don't begrudge it. Then I want to listen to it." And he uses this address, "O Pepon," which is a common Homeric address, and it's just a little bit of an endearing address, but it is notable because this is the second time that Apollonius uses this in the Argonautica. So we get this affectionate little address after he says these things, and he's worried about what Jason wants to say. So it's very reassuring, and it stands out as a reassuring remark just because it's used so little in the Argonautica. And then he says, "Bask ethi," before he gives them, or before he gives Argos the command that, yes, he should go do this. This use of bask ethi is really interesting because in Homer, it's really only used when Zeus is ordering an inferior god around. And so it kind of shows Zeus's power in these instances. And I shamelessly stole this from the Hunter green and yellow commentary on book 3. So if you don't have that and want to know more about it, you should definitely pick that up. But you get this. And I personally think that this is really just showing the difference between Jason as a leader and Zeus as a leader. But there are similarities as well, because Zeus is always balancing the wills of a lot of people, and you clearly see that with Jason. So here he's learning, you know, the will of Argos, and he's going to balance that. But I think it's also pointedly showing the differences because he's using a au pepon here, like an affectionate little remark. Yeah, and he's being kind to him. He's saying, I like your plan, and he's not really treating him as an inferior. So I think this is just an interesting relationship. So we see the men in this section. And then we're going to move forward a little in this interaction. And we're going to look at how they view the women main characters, because I think there's not necessarily tension, but there's a lot in these relationships that we see here, in the relationships that we see between these male characters, who are the heroes, and between these female characters that are really, really supporting them throughout this story, in ways very much alike and very much different at the same time, in comparison with Homeric ideas of supporting women in the Iliad and the Odyssey. So I think that Apollonius is just really emphasizing that, and really emphasizing these relationships in this part of the story where they're where they're thinking up this plan for the first time and deciding what to do. Yes. And then moving forward, we see Jason and Argus talking about their plan at that point with the women in this passage. And we have Argus coming up with this plan, which I think is interesting, because it's really highlighting his relationship to the women at this point and to Calliope as his mother. And the word mater is actually mentioned twice in this small little passage. So I think that's definitely notable. And we have Medea referred to. So Argus here is going to go talk to his mother and try and get Medea to help. And we have Medea referred to as Tina Corain. And if you're following along, that's at about line 477. So this kind of certain girl with an indefinite article there, we see that his reference to her is a little bit obscure. So she is this certain girl who concocts drugs, pharmacene, Hecates, by Hecates. So we're not even getting her name here. We're just getting that she's a certain girl. So we're getting her use for the mission, that kind of indefinite sense of her. So we're really seeing the men needing this help from these women. And going a little further down, we get these two lines that I think were really a turning point in reading this passage for me. And they're 487 through 88. And I'm just going to read them very briefly. So, Nevee ge men, hemen or orin, el pore, hote noston, epitrapomesta, gunaistin. And then I guess for a quick English translation, for those of you who possibly don't speak or didn't get that in the Greek, says, but desperate indeed is our hope when we have entrusted our return to women. So I think here we're really getting, not just the mention of these women, but that Argus and Jason need women. They're entrusting their homecoming to women. That homecoming that's such a theme throughout Odyssey and other works, and that's really important to these heroes. And the fact that they're entrusting it to women, and also this contextual that it's desperate that they're entrusting this to women. Ava, I was wondering if you had any comment on how you viewed this, and if you viewed this as a striking statement, or what you think about them needing to turn to women at this point in the text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is a very interesting statement by Agabus and reveals a lot about his character. I do think it's kind of interesting, like when we're looking at this work in the context of other epic poems, that he would say this, because it does seem that entrusting your homecoming to women is not something that's unusual for epic and often is very effective in getting you where you need to go. I also think that it's interesting when one considers the broader context of what's going on in the poem, and the reader knows that there are goddesses working behind the scenes and orchestrating all of these things that are going on, that Argos would say that they're in dire straits if they're needing help from women, because the reality is that a lot of what they are doing is because of the help of Hera and Athena, even if that's without their knowledge. So their homecoming has already, in a sense, been entrusted to women. They just don't know that that's the case.
Right. And I think those are excellent points, especially when we do look back, at other stories when women played vital roles in epic poetry and in these heroes achieving their goals or coming home. And I think that really here we get that same vital role, but it's kind of twisted to be a more active role. I don't know if you'd agree with that there.
Yeah, I definitely think that Medea's role here is very active and evident to them how necessary it is that they actually seek out her help specifically. Like, she's not just helping passively or incidentally. It's very, very intentional when she chooses to give help and the way she chooses to do it. They're also seeking out a particular skill set from her, which is interesting. They're going to her particularly for a particular reason. And that kind of shows like a different kind of asking for help instead of just receiving help incidentally or passively.
Right. Yeah. She has a very specific skill set and it's a specific character here. So
now that we've kind of talked about the men, Argos and Jason, in the passage and their intentions and the way that they're viewing the situation, and also the women and their roles here, I'm just curious, how would you characterize their interaction with the women and how that relationship is happening?
Yeah, I think it's interesting here because it almost puts the women on an equal footing, maybe not entirely, but you know, the heroes are needing to go to them for help, and Argos is going to go and treat his mother and try to get help from Calliope, and is also going to be trying to get help from Medea for very particular reasons. And this just kind of, even though it seems that these heroes are, you know, on their journey and on their quest, and they see themselves as the actors and agents of what's happening, they are very much here dependent on, you know, will Calliope help? Will Medea help? And if not, that's going to create serious problems for their tests and for their trials, and they're not going to be able to complete the tasks they need to complete. So there's kind of a different level of respect that they need to afford these women than I think would be traditionally afforded to them. And that just kind of shows that these women are very crucial actors in this area of the plot and in the Argonautica as a whole.
Right. I definitely think that's the case. And especially with what we just looked at, the line where they are entrusting their return to women and their homecoming to women. And I also think something that really struck me about this passage that I would like to look at for just a second is the first kind of introduction into Jason and Argos introducing this idea of getting help from women. And that would be
around lines 471 to 472, if you're following along, and I'll just read them briefly. He minar hos eole tonon mele de masi korein. Hoi de epe un demu te kai asteos ektos ebeson. And then for quick English, in this way was the girl's mind beset with anxieties. But when the heroes had left the people and the town, but here we get a mendae construction, which is very interesting right here because it's within two different sentences, and we have hey in the first sentence and ahoy in the second. So it seems like a kind of clear contrast between Medea, the woman, and hoy, Argus and Jason here, which is really how I first read it. But I think that kind of looking at the context, this is right after Medea is really lamenting the fact that Jason could die in this contest without knowing him very well, but she has been struck by Eros's arrow. So, but she really seems to be lamenting this here, and her mind is beset with anxieties. So she's feeling these anxieties. And I think that maybe what this is highlighting here is not just the switch from talking about Medea to talking about Jason and Argos, but also their relationship to each other, that at this point Medea is needing Jason because she has found this so-called love for him, where Jason is needing her in the respect that he needs her for his homecoming, which we get a little bit later. So I think that's just an interesting, important thing to point out there. So then the last group of people I really want to touch on are the goddesses at work behind the scenes here. And what we see is we see Argos coming up with this plan, and he knows Medea because of his relationship to her as his as her nephew. But we see this plan just popping into his head, which does seem a little interesting since we have seen this plan through Hera and Athena already. And we get in this line right here, 476, that Peresteu mal eoike methiemen in kakoteti. So we get that they really can't let go this attempt in their distress. And this letting go of an attempt, I think, is really interesting because it harkens back to line 16 in book 3, where Hera and Athena are talking, and Hera says, but nonetheless, one should not turn away from any attempt. He toi min huperfialos pele ainos impeste u tina peran apotropastai eoiken. So we get this almost similar and almost the same exact construction of this plan. And I think that really symbolizes that the goddesses are definitely at work here behind the scenes, even if we don't see them. And then later on, I also want to turn back to this line that I just found so interesting between 487 and 88. But desperate indeed is our hope when we have entrusted our homecoming to women. Because I think that maybe here too, we might latently see, and you talked about this earlier a little bit, and I think it's right on. I think we see them turning to the goddesses as well, whether they know it or not. They're entrusting their homecoming to the women goddesses. And maybe here the poet too, Apollonius, is metapoetically entrusting his story to women. We see the invocation of a female goddess at the beginning of this book. And yeah, we just see Hera and Athena coming in. And I was curious, Ava, if you have any thoughts on how Hera and Athena might be driving this plot, or how their relationship might play into Argus and Jason and Medea, as drivers of this plot, or just as characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is a very interesting aspect of this passage, and something I touched on a little bit earlier, but just the way in which these goddesses have been working behind the scenes and orchestrating the situations that have allowed the Argonauts to get this far and are going to continue making it possible for Jason to complete his task. They're just, they're working behind the scenes. And the Argonauts don't seem to realize that, and they don't have any connection to them. We see later on there's a prophecy that they'll interpret as the fact that Aphrodite's helping them. And Aphrodite is helping them, but only because Athena and Hera have asked her to. And this just brings a different level to the story that I think is really interesting, just to see like on what levels people are in control of what's going on. So what's the extent to which Jason and the Argonauts are like aware of what's happening, or in control of what's happening? So what is the extent to which these are their own ideas? What's the extent to which they're actually able to actualize these plans on their own, put that in contrast with, what's the extent to which Hera and Athena's plans are prevailing? Are they just aiding the Argonauts? Are they really making things happen in kind of an independent way? Is that dependent on what the Argonauts do, or can they just actualize these plans kind of independently from what Jason and Argus and the others do?
Right. And I definitely think that's the case, especially, reading this passage, you see a lot of both relationships and tensions here. And you see these goddesses who seem behind the scenes, but might actually be driving this plot in the end, and driving these heroes together. If we're referring to Medea as a hero. yes, but I definitely think that's the case, and that's a very interesting point to make.
So I had a great time with you here today, Ava, and I want to thank you all for listening in and being here. And definitely tune into our next episode. Ava, do you want to give a little sneak peek of what we might be talking about next?
Yeah, next week we're going to be talking about Medea's speech to herself following her dream, advising her to aid Jason. We're also going to be looking at the simile that follows shortly after those lines, and the ways in which Apollonius is influenced by other epic writers and tragedians, and the way in which he influences other writers that will follow him.
Right, so that's going to be great. And that is a really interesting simile. So hope that y'all all get to tune in, and thanks again for being here.